spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. In the most delightful way.
That was nice.
Oh, I want to start whistling like that Robin.
No.
Not like you, Robin, but like the Robin in the movie. What's up, everybody?
Hey!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Cocktails.
I'm Zenobia.
I'm Jason. And I almost took your line.
I was going to say. Do you want to say it? Go ahead.
I don't want to say it.
Say it.
I want to say it.
Go ahead.
I want to say it, but I want you to say it.
This is a podcast where we pair amazing cocktails with amazing movies.
And this is an amazing movie.
Yes.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for this drink. You can tell them what we're having.
We are having a spoonful of sugar mojito.
I like mojitos.
Me.
I like Cuba.
Too. All right. So I have never made a mojito.
You never made a mojito?
No. Have you?
Yes.
You want to make it?
No.
Okay, good. Because I'm going to do it. You know, we have mint here.
Yes.
Do you know you're supposed to, like, slap mint?
Why are you supposed to slap mint?
Because it helps bring out the...
Because mint has been bad? I don't get it.
It helps to bring out the fragrance.
Oh, okay.
All right. So
we're going to... Is that why... See, and I have a mint plant outside. Unfortunately, we've been very busy and it's not looking great these days.
But I got these mints from my brother's garden.
Thank you, Kenny.
So we have that.
So you smack the mint.
Just a little bit. Just to get
that
smell.
In order to get that fragrance out. That's mm-hmm. interesting. I did not know that you do that.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to put some of them in the bottom of your cup.
Make sure to save some mint for Ashley.
There's a whole bag full.
She's off doing shopping for... Thanksgiving number 2.
Yep.
AKA Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving.
Which is tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, I hope you guys all had a good
great
one.
Time with your families, being thankful for
I know we did.
Columbus, you know, murdering my people.
Yep. So, we're going to put Ooh, I just spilled everybody.
Lemon juice on the table and a little bit in the glass.
This is supposed to be lime juice, but we made our own little cup.
Yeah, we did. Zenobia found some lovely lime-looking fruit outside in the driveway. We got a tree out there. She didn't know what it was. But
like, what is this? All right, it's going in.
I believe they're tangerines, but I've never really tasted one to be sure. I did when I first moved in here, but it looks like an orange, but it's sour like lemon.
Yeah, it's weird. But...
So it's probably one of those hybrid trees.
So, what I'm doing right now is a spoonful, tablespoon, of brown sugar. So, what I did is I took some simple syrup that was made by a friend of mine, James. Thank you.
We got family hooking us up.
Yeah, hooking us up. And they, I just poured some brown sugar in it and mixed it so that it wouldn't be so grainy in our drink.
Brown sugar. So, we'll see how that goes. I get tired. No, I'm not going
to
do that.
No, no, how to behave. So, we're supposed to muddle.
Muddle. This is the first time we've muddled, isn't it?
It is. Do you want
to... It's a first for a lot of things.
Do you want to tell everybody what I'm muddling with?
Yes, we are muddling with brand new muddler / Swiss Army knife for bartenders mm-hmm. that I got for my birthday from my good friends, Justin and Jessica. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Because I was about to buy one today because I was like, I can't not have a muddle.
We really needed one, and it's a great addition to everything that we're doing for this podcast. And all
do you want to tell everybody what else you surprised me with today?
No, I think you should do it. I'll just post it on Instagram.
Today, I came in and was getting ready.
She had arms full of bags and a box in her hand full of... alcohol that yep. we had at her parents' house last night because yep. we were making sexual chocolate.
We were
like we said we would mm-hmm. they were delicious but really I immediately good. Yelled at her and I was like, what is all that stuff, go put it away.
And I did,
and she did.
And when I went to open the liquor cabinet, there was no liquor in there.
No, there wasn't.
And I was like, what the...
We realize Zenobia has tunnel vision when she walks through the
when
door.
When I walk in, yeah, you gotta give me a
she
minute.
She doesn't see anything. Because there's a number of improvements on the house since you've last been
so here. A week ago. But I turned around and there was a custom-made bar with all of my fancy stuff.
I finally got around to it.
Yep. Decorated with my Smashley.
Yes. It looked nice. Smashley made it pretty. I put it together and Smashley made it pretty. Finishing touches. Ooh, what are you pouring there?
Okay, so after you muddle, what you don't
do is spill all over the table.
Yeah, if you guys are playing the drinking game, that's like two drinks right there.
Yeah, she's spilled twice so far.
And again.
Make that three times.
Want to give me a rag? Or a napkin?
No, I kind of like that you're failing so much right now.
Yeah, what's with
if
me?
If anybody's playing the drinking game right now, you got to drink three times. Oh, my God. Do you need help?
Yeah.
She's so focused. She's now focusing. Like, she's like, I'm not going to spill anything. And then she was wrong. Drink again, people. Drink again. Oh, my God.
I wasted all this fucking rum.
That's a lot of rum.
Can you
mop it up?
Put it up.
Here's a napkin. While she struggles, oh God. I'm going to tell you guys, if you didn't already know, we are doing our first Disney movie.
We are.
We're doing Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
So after you put 1.5 ounce of light rum, it doesn't have to be white, just light. Mm. We have some light ones here.
Yeah.
I think that goes with that. And then you top it off. You put ice in it, and then you top it off with the rum, and then you top it off again with the bubbly water.
Sparkling water, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Or carbonated?
Carbonated, bubble water, whatever.
All right.
And then you top it.
So you could technically use like club soda.
Yes.
Okay.
And you club top it people. With a mint.
Oh, yeah.
And that, my friend, is called a spoonful of sugar.
Is that your British accent?
That's the best I got.
That's okay.
So
Dick Van Dyke failed.
I know. I sound a little better than him, I think. So you ready? Let's try this.
Oh, that's
my first ever mojito.
You've never had a mojito?
No, made.
Oh, okay.
No, last year around this time, I was like craving it, and I went to a bunch of different places, and no one had mint.
Cheers.
Cheers. Wait, before we drink, I would like to dedicate this episode to my friend's father who passed away this morning, Bob Herrick. He was a great man, and I've known him for 20 years, and he just passed today, and my thoughts and prayers are with his family.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been super sad all day, so...
Sorry.
I'm ready. I'm glad I'm ready to drink. But I'm here.
Mr. Harris, your family. Cheers.
Bob, this is for you. Cheers. Okay. Let's cheers again.
I could use another spoonful of sugar.
All right. Let's try that.
Adjust as accordingly. See, Julie Andrews said that one spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. But I say two spoons full of sugar make the mojito
go down
just right.
Wait, let me mix it with our little...
With your muddler?
There's a mixer on
there. Oh, there's a mixer on there too? Is that the one? Mm-hmm. A little stir stick? All right.
Look at this.
Yeah.
We are
coming up. Thank you, Justin and Jess.
Thank you.
And Justin listens to the podcast.
Well, thank you, my
friend.
When
he has the time, but his drive to work is only 5 minutes, so... He's still on episode one.
Well, when you hear this in 2 years, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Tell his ass.
So, let me see what it tastes like now.
That's better.
That's better. Two spoonfuls of sugar.
Two spoons. Disney lied.
Disney lied. Do you want to hear some history on the mojito?
Give me a history on the mojito.
Okay.
Let me guess. It comes from Britain.
No.
I'm kidding.
There is two stories to the origin of this legendary cocktail.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's one. Some say it was born in Cuba when Sir Francis Drake came to Havana to take all of the gold of the city.
Hey.
But this was unsuccessful. The only thing that was successful was this drink. So his assistant created an early version of the mojito.
Was his name Cuban Pete? And was he king of the Rumba Beat?
And he kept going cheek cheeky boom, cheek cheeky boom, cheek cheeky boom. It's called El
Dorito.
No, what does that say?
I don't know.
You're Mexican.
Thanks. That's Cuban, but El Draque.
El Draque.
El Draque, I don't know.
That sounds right. AKA, it means the Drake. So this should be Drake's Drake.
That makes more sense.
Okay, so here's story number two of where it might have came from.
Okay.
Okay. Others say that African slaves worked in the Cuban sugarcane field, came up with this, and the name mojito comes from the African word mojo, which is to place a little spell. So that is, I mean, and that's again with the, like we were talking about with the rum and how the sugarcane people in the fields kind of came up with this with the molasses. In 2014, here's a fun fact, it became the most popular drink in Great Britain.
Really?
And its sales were 10% of all alcohol sales from 2012 to 2014. Wow. So this is a good tie into it because...
Interesting. It's good. So Britain likes their mojitos.
Yes.
And we've got suggestions for the drinking game coming through. Apparently, this feels like a drinking game that's going to be revised as the podcast gets more solidified.
So we have a suggestion for take a drink when Jason says someone is a journeyman actor, which he does.
I do say that a lot. I got my respect for my journeyman actors.
I like it.
You know what I mean?
That's a good one. You do say that a lot.
There's some journeyman actors in this particular movie, too. So y'all get ready to drink.
Wait, we already told them what we were doing, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We're doing Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
How excited are you for the new Mary Poppins Returns coming out?
I am so excited. And doing all this like research made me like extra excited.
What am I saying? You're clearly excited.
People, oh, we didn't even
she
say.
She is dressed as Mary Poppins. I got to take a picture of you right now. You look so adorable.
I am. I got my best deal of Mary Poppins on. I made him put on a little hat.
I put on my paperboy hat. So I have a number of them that I don't wear anymore.
Let me get my umbrella.
I don't want your umbrella. I want the mojito.
Oh, okay. That's true.
You can keep the umbrella. You got two hands.
No. I only have one hand for my drink.
And smile. You're so cute.
Yes. So, yeah, I am totally dressed. The pod.
People, young single men out there, my sister's cute.
Thank you.
We go get you a date. You got yourself a date. You got yourself a date.
One day.
You got yourself a date.
This show is going to help me not be single anymore. So, you ready for the stats?
Somebody to love. You did so good last night in the talent show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we had a family talent show, you guys. We'll tell you this real quick. Mm. And our family is super talented with singers and comedians. And
your dad was funny.
My dad. You know, our little cousin was doing dinosaur facts. Our nieces were singing.
Yes.
I sang. And Jason and Smashley stole the show dressed as Aladdin and Jasmine, complete with carpet and Robin as Abu.
Very adorable to see. Very embarrassing.
It was so good. But it's family, so, you know.
It's family, so it's
allowed. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
There you go. And that's perfect.
I will not be dressing up as Aladdin again.
That's fine.
Unless.
Next year you.
No, they already made the movie. Guy Ritchie already cast it, so
next year I want you dressed as the Beast, and you guys can do Beauty and the Beast.
The fuck? It's like once every 3 years that we make it to right, guys' house.
And in 3 years, our show is going to even be bigger than it
Dude,
was.
Dude, I want production value. I want overhead lights.
Yes.
I want lavalier mics. I want a stage.
I know. I'm working
and
on it.
And my Rory face is going to be a big star.
It's only my second year, so you.
I'm predicting it now. She's Rory's always... going to be in front of the camera. Brooklyn's going to be working side by side with me behind the camera.
Oh, yeah. You take her and I take her. All right, so here's the Mary Poppins stats.
Mary Poppins stats.
Came out August 27th, 1964. So this is our oldest movie.
And our first the Mustang.
And our first Disney movie.
It is our first Disney movie.
So the budget was $4.4 million, which in today's money is $35
million. Ooh, okay. That is a decent budget.
And it made $102 million, which in today's money is $813 million.
Oh, give me just a fraction.
Can you? Yeah, I believe this has to be our biggest profit. Grossing, yeah.
Biggest overall profit. Mm-hmm. I would say so. Now, does that number reflect over all time, or is that like...
In Disney, it was...
Just ticket sales.
It was the number one selling Disney movie until Frozen came out.
Of course.
So that shows you how long that it's been their number one fucking movie.
Kristen Bell, I'm telling you. Bank on her.
Rotten Tomatoes. I want to see what you think about this. Okay.
All right, tell me. The critic is Rotten Tomatoes. Ooh, they better not be talking shit.
The critics give it 100%.
Yeah.
And the audience gives it 86%.
I call bullshit.
I thought it was going to be 100 around. Or at least that the audience was going to say 100.
Yeah.
Critics would have said 86. That made more sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's some cynical people out there. They're usually the critics.
That's what I thought it was backwards.
I don't know. I mean, you can't go wrong with Mary Poppins. It's a timeless movie that will go on, and our children's children will love it when they're watching it in 3D and they're reviving Julie Andrews in digital form.
And then when they become 21, they can turn on this episode and they can do the drinking game.
Nice.
Right? You like that segue?
Is a nice segue.
It is time. And again, this is a completely made up drinking game.
Who the hell makes up a drinking game for Disney?
Me.
Us.
Me, apparently, because only I couldn't find one.
Of course not.
So
I would like some input on these drinking games.
When I have to make them all the way up?
Yes.
Okay, I got you. If you want to add one in there, be my guest.
Okay.
But I think I got them covered.
All right.
So you take one drink when someone starts singing a song.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
Yeah.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You're gonna get real fucked up on this one. I made sure.
Does that count when Bert is playing his one-man band?
Yeah, he's singing.
Okay,
so...
It's more like he's rhyming, but...
When Admiral Boom shoots off his cannons.
Yeah, that's a good
one. He does
one.
That a couple times.
12 seconds to go. 10, 9.
Post 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ellen, it is now 8 o'clock.
You'd be like, 3, 2, 1,
fire!
And they all have to hold all the paintings.
Winifred, it is now 8 o'clock.
You can let them in. So you take a drink anytime Mary Poppins says spit spot.
Well, don't stand there staring. Best foot forward. Spit spot. Come along, children. Spit spot. Spit spot. And off we go.
For a spoonful of sugar.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right?
Spit spot.
And off we go. You take one drink when Uncle Albert gets sad. Aww. So when he comes down from the ceiling.
Oh, that's sad. That's the saddest thing I ever heard.
You take one drink when the kids run away. They do that about twice.
Yeah, they do that twice.
You take one drink when Mary flies.
Ah. Now, does it count when they're on the roof doing stepping time and she's going around like revolution after revolution and she's spinning?
I'm not going to count that.
I mean, she's hovering for a good minute.
But they're all doing some crazy stunts up there.
Yeah, but then she looks back and she's like looking at all the other steppers.
And
she's
like, do it again.
And what?
No.
Yeah. I'm going to count it.
Okay.
I count it because she's up there longer than anybody can jump.
Lawyered. So, yes, that does count. So you take a drink when Ellen and Cook fight.
That's what I say, and good riddance. I never liked it from the moment she set foot in the door.
But who gets stuck with the children with no nanny in the house? Me, that's who.
Right, are they cute?
They really are.
You take one drink when Bert changes jobs.
Thank you one and all for your kind support.
Today I'm a screaver, and as you can see, a screaver's an artist. Of highest degree.
So happens that today I'm a chimney sweep.
Oh.
Good one.
Today I'm a streamer. And as you can see,
yeah, he changes about four times.
A screamer's an artist of highest degree. Yeah, he does. Well, oh, I got a question. Does it count when he's a banker?
No.
Why not?
Because it's Bert.
Okay.
Not Dick Van Dyke.
I'll just drink my mojito and shut the fuck up.
So you finish your drink when Mr. Banks gets fired.
Mmm.
Okay. And
that's a good one.
You finish your drink when Mr. Banks rips up the kid's nanny ad.
Oh, okay.
After their little song.
Rosy cheeks, no warts. Play, I put that one in too.
Play freaking games, Michael. All sorts.
I like it.
So that is our completely made up drinking game.
I have nothing to add. It's a good drinking game.
I think I did good. I really thought this one out because I was like, there isn't. How am I going to make this a drinking game for kids? If you were playing with your kids.
You know what you could add?
Give them juice. Anytime
that Mary Poppins performs magic.
I almost put that because she goes up the
thing. Sometimes it's just very simple things like going up the stairs or like changing the color of the medicine.
Yes. You take one drink when Mary Poppins uses magic.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Okay, I like it.
She did such an amazing job.
Yeah.
I love her to this day. Is it time to jump in?
Can I give you a little bit about the book? Because you know how I be about my books. And this one is really good, and it's obviously tied into it.
Of course.
After doing so much research on this, I even watched a documentary called The Real Mary Poppins.
Oh.
Which is a story about P.L. Travers, who's the author.
The author.
And it just made me want to do Saving Mr. Banks. So I stopped myself, and we will go into more of that when we do Saving Mr. Banks.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1934, P.L. Travers published her first book, Mary Poppins. And she first thought about Mary when she was a young girl, making up stories for her sister and became worldwide known for this amazing woman that she's created. So this thing turned into being like a big deal. Every kid loved this book. And it got to Walt.
It was their time's Harry Potter, basically.
Yes, exactly. So Walt Disney was interested in the magical Mary Poppins when his daughters asked him to read the book to them. So he contacted Travers in 1938, and he, like, begged her, like, hey, can I get the rights for this film? And she denied him.
Yep.
And at this time, he had only had one feature film, which was Snow White at that time. So she's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So
he hadn't jumped into live action yet.
Because at first I was like, who would turn down Walt Disney? But I understand if the only thing that, you know, is huge is...
Sure.
And... This would go on for 20 years of him asking her,
20 years.
Can I get your script? Can I get your... She's like, no, no. So in 1959, Walt met her in London and he began conversations and making her feel comfortable in letting him make this movie. So as he's still wooing her, Walt calls the Sherman Brothers to start writing songs for the movie. And so they started writing songs for it. And they spent about 2.5 years writing, unaware that Walt didn't even have the rights for it yet.
They didn't even know. Wow.
So in like 1960, Travers finally signed the agreement with Disney. This is pretty cool though, but she would only do it if they paid her $100,000, which in today's money is $838,000 over that. That's how much money it is today.
$838,000. I got you.
So she got all this for the script. And she only would sign off on it after, you know, she had the final say on the script.
Approval. Yeah. If anybody's seen Mr. Banks, you know she wanted final cut.
They made a lot of changes because of her.
Dude, she was like resilient.
Mm-hmm.
She would not budge on a lot of things.
Yeah, this was her baby, and I totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just a handful for them to handle.
20 fucking years to 20 make
years.
This movie?
Yeah, and that was just him just trying to get the rights.
Sure. They had to wait for Julie Andrews to grow up.
I know. That's really what it was.
Yeah. And Dick Van Dyke. I don't know if anybody else could do it.
I mean...
The way that those two did.
He said that he thought he was good, but he thought there was other people that could have been better because he has apologized for his accent. He's like, I am so sorry that I have the worst accent in cinema.
What?
Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke did do, his attempt at a Cockney accent is bad. However, I never really thought of it as a Cockney accent. I just thought of it as him.
That's because we were kids.
And, well, in England, it is known as the Dick Van Dyke accent now. Like, it's so bad that that's what they call it. When you do a shitty Cockney accent, it's a Dick Van Dyke accent.
That's so funny.
It's been dubbed the Dick Van Dyke accent England or Britain, I'm not sure.
All right, so that's a little bit about Travers.
And ups to the Sherman Brothers for making some amazing songs in this movie.
Yeah.
My goodness. This, I mean, it's timeless.
Okay.
They're fantastic, and they've done a million Disney movies, The Jungle Book, you know, the Sherman Brothers, like, just everything.
Oh, yeah. No, I made
and I
sure...
think I would like to get into them more when we do Saving Mr. Banks.
I'm going to give you some fun facts about them anyway.
Okay.
Because I got the pleasure of...
Did you meet them?
I was in the auditorium. I got to go see...
Hollywood.
Yeah, I got to go see the Mary Poppins sing-along at the Pantages Theaters.
Ooh.
And one of the special guests was them, both of them, because one of them has passed now.
Yeah.
But they were there, and they had their piano, and they kind of played some of the songs and talked about, the songs. Yeah, so they're just awesome. So I'm just going to give you
Of all the movies that they've done, they wanted to talk about Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Okay. This is probably their most notable shit.
Sure.
So, fun fact about Spoonful of Sugar, since we're drinking it. This came when Robert Sherman, one of the Sherman brothers, his son received a polio vaccine at school. And they injected it into a sugar cube and gave it to the kids.
Really?
And that's where he came up with... Spoonful of sugar
helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
That's cool.
Travis, she didn't like the Sherman Brothers songs.
What?
Yeah, she really didn't like them except for Feed the Birds.
Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence.
That's a good one.
And she...
I feel like she wanted to make this, like, sad.
Well, she insisted that she didn't want it to be a musical, period.
Oh, okay.
So she already was like, so every 2 minutes a fucking song?
Yes. It's a musical.
I agree, but, I mean, obviously she didn't.
This is my argument with writers not letting go of the script.
Yeah. So they had to deal with that, but... Because of that, they got to do a million great things. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, so the Sherman Brothers are like the killer of songwriter duos.
They really are.
Okay, for people who don't know who they are. They wrote songs for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang in 1968.
Yeah, they wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Hi, ho, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty,
they wrote songs for Jungle Book.
Chitty.
They wrote songs for Bed Knobs and Broomsticks in 1971.
Yoo-hoo. I want to be like you. I'm just thinking of all the songs.
They actually didn't write that one.
Yes, they did.
Oh, no. Bare Necessities, they didn't write.
They didn't write that one, but they did write I Want to Be Like You.
They did. They wrote songs for Charlotte Webb in 1973 and songs for the Aristocats.
Did they?
Yeah. Aww. And Parent Trap. Together.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Together.
Here's a song that we all know. It's a Small World After All.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And that, a fun fact about that.
No!
It showed...
Anything but that.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
We're going down the Disney rabbit hole tonight, people.
So it was showed at the World's Fair in New York in 1964, that song.
Oh, I thought you meant the movie.
No.
It's a Small World.
How cool is that?
It's a small world after all.
So when they worked with Disney, they wrote more movie musical scores than any other songwriters in the history of film.
Wow.
Yes. And in 1965, the brothers won 2 Oscars for Mary Poppins. And in their life, they earned 9 Academy Award nominations, 2 Grammys, 4 Grammy nominations, and they had 23 gold and platinum albums. And I got to listen to them talk about this movie.
About how amazing they are.
How amazing they are.
I'm going to go home and polish my statues.
Because I love...
You guys enjoy the show.
Because without them, this movie would literally be nothing. And we'll go more into, like, you know, other stuff once we do Save Mr. Banks. But people who might not know who wrote these amazing songs...
Yeah, that's the only reason why I don't want to go too deep into the making. Because that'll tie into Saving Mr. Banks as well. So we can talk about how great the movie is in general.
So who do you want to hit with?
I mean, we always start with the director.
All right.
Mr. Robert Stevenson.
Yes.
Better known, well, not better known. This is definitely his crowning jewel. But he also directed Old Yeller and Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And probably his most successful movie besides this one was the 1938 version of Jane Eyre with Orson Welles.
What? No.
Yeah.
I have not.
That must have been a pain in the ass, directing Orson Welles.
Yeah.
I am Orson Welles. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do.
I'd be like, okay.
Well, being that Mary Poppins came out in 1964, I will say that a number of these filmmakers have passed on, including our director, Mr. Robert Stevenson.
He did.
Passed away April 30th, 1986. And this was his only Oscar nomination.
You know what movie that makes me cry of his all the time?
What?
Old Yeller.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he was a good dog.
He was. He did a lot of things. Like, he did Zorro, the TV show, back in 1958.
Yeah.
And The Wonderful World of Color.
Did he direct that?
He directed a couple in 1957 and 1982.
Okay.
I was like six, seven. He also worked on Alfred Hitchcock's Presents
for
a couple
of
episodes. I love that fucking show.
You and your Hitchcock. You and I Ashley do. And your Hitchcock.
Yeah. He made The Love Bug.
He's not my cup of tea.
It's all right.
He did The Love Bug?
Yeah, in 1968. And he is the only director to be nominated for Best Director Oscar for a Disney movie.
I got you. I find that funny that he made The Love Bug. Because that's also one of David Tomlinson's movies, one of his better known movies.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who, David Tomlinson plays Mr. George W. Banks.
A British home is run with precision.
Doom, 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 doom.
I run my home precisely on schedule. At 6:01, I march through my doors.
Doom, 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 doom.
And I'm not going to go into the entire song.
That's all I know about him.
Anything I'll give you some stuff about him. So, like I said, he was nominated for Best Director for Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he lost to Robert Wise for none other than The Sound of Music, also starring Miss Julie Andrews.
She was killing it, though.
She was killing it.
That was her year.
And since we're talking about Julie Andrews, let's dive right in.
Andrews.
Right the fuck in. Since we're talking about Julie Andrews and we're talking about the Oscars, let's just say that Miss Julie Andrews, right out of the fucking gate, won Best Actress on her very first movie, Mary Poppins.
Yes. She. Do you know how they saw her?
How'd they see her?
So Robert Sherman, he saw Julie Andrews perform with the cast of Camelot on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1961.
Oh, okay.
And he told Walt to, he's like, go take a look at her. You know, I think she might be the Mary Poppins we're looking for.
I got you.
And so Walt took a trip to New York and he saw her in Camelot and he introduced himself to Julie Andrews in her dressing room and he just asked her point blank without an audition, like, will you be my
Mary
Poppins?
Saw her.
Yeah, he was like, that was your audition.
She's fucking phenomenal.
I just want you.
Yeah.
So she played Mary Poppins.
Yeah. She has arguably the most perfect voice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that at age 7, Julie Andrews could sing in a note that was high enough for only dogs to hear?
No way.
Yes.
Like a dog whistle.
Absolutely.
Could she break glass?
I don't know if she could fucking break glass, but... There's not a scratch or a mispitch in her singing.
At this point, yes.
It's incredible. Yeah, of course. Later on in life, unfortunately, she developed vocal nodes.
Yeah.
And in 1997, I want to say, she had surgery.
She doesn't sing anymore.
And unfortunately, she does not sing anymore.
Yeah, we don't.
That's very, very sad. That's like the saddest thing for singer.
I know.
Can you imagine? You're a singer.
I'd die.
Can you imagine if you couldn't sing anymore? I'm a terrible singer, and if I couldn't sing anymore, I'd still be heartbroken.
I agree. So at this time, when Walt was like, yo, girl, can you come play Mary Poppins?
Mm-hmm.
She was in talk with Warner Brothers to be in My Fair Lady.
Yes, she was. I was hoping you'd touch on that.
She originally played on Broadway and killed it, but they ended up not going with her.
Yeah.
And
you know who they went with?
Do you know who they went with?
Yeah. Long Neck.
That's what you call her?
I'm just kidding. She's fantastic. She's gorgeous. She's wonderful. They went with Audrey Hepburn. I'm just in Julie Andrews' corner. I love Audrey Hepburn, but Julie's my girl.
But during the Academy Award, you know, I think she thanks her, right? And she's like, thanks for not giving me the job for you taking the, because she got her.
Did she?
Finally, my thanks to a man who made a wonderful movie and who made all this possible in the first place, Mr. Jack Warner.
Did she say that?
That's what I heard.
Okay. I was under the understanding that she only thanked Walt Disney in her Oscar speech.
Oh, shit.
Many thank yous. I only know where to start, and that's with Mr. Walt Disney, and naturally, he has the largest thank you of all. I wouldn't know where to stop.
So Walt hired Julie Andrews' husband to design the costumes for the movie.
Costume design? Okay.
Yes. And she agreed to play Mary Poppins, but she was 3 months pregnant when she said this. So she was frightened that, you know, they would just stop and just get rid of her and she'd lose her role. So she was scared. And so she talks to Walt and she's like, yo, I totally really want to take this role, but I'm 3 months pregnant. And he wanted her so bad that he was like, that's fine. We'll wait till you're ready.
I mean, he's waited 20 years already.
I know. So he agreed to delay production until she was ready. Okay. So she had just had her first child at that time.
I got you. Dude, she had her first child and then she started singing and dancing like this? Yes. How long after she delivered did they start filming?
I didn't see. But
wow,
it was shortly after because they had to. I mean, she probably had the baby and it started getting in shape and then
kept it tight.
So. Yeah. So the funny thing is that Julie keeping it tight, keeping it bright, huh, Julie?
Keeping it tight.
So Julie, she gave birth to her first child on November 27th, 1962. And she got a call from Travers. While she was in the hospital, and Travers told Julie Andrews that she was too pretty to play Mary Poppins, but she did have the right nose for it. And it was the first time that they had ever spoken. Like, that's what she said to her while she's laid up in the hospital.
What?
You're too pretty to play Mary Poppins, but you do have the right nose.
Oh, my goodness. Miss Travers. Just let them make the movie.
Yeah, get your nose out of the business.
Well, she's a writer. You know, writers and their words, man, I'm telling you.
I mean,
which I have nothing against writers. Like, your words are what make the movie spectacular. But you got to unclench and let go of the death grip that you got on the script.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the movie that you expect it to be. And that's it goes through way too many filters to be what you think it is, unless you're directing it yourself. So basically, that's my advice. Unless you want to direct it yourself, let go.
Let it go. Let it go. No?
I'm sorry. I almost spit out. But it's too good. I love mojitos, and that was...
This is really good. We're going to make another one.
Yeah.
I did a great...
I want another one.
I like this.
I say we order some pizza tonight.
I am so down.
So, Miss Andrews. Miss... The lovely, wonderful. She's beautiful. I love how she presents herself.
She's fucking
cool. Even to this day. Have you seen Julie Andrews' Green Room?
Yes.
Her little TV show.
I watch it with the girls.
It's so fucking great.
Yeah, I totally watch it with our nieces because I'm like, I want you to get into theater. Like, yes. I totally want them to. And it's so cute.
I want them to, too. Not because I want them to be little actresses or anything like that. If they want to, great. But I want them to have the ability to express themselves and how to... have the ability to feel things and experience things.
I agree.
I feel like I didn't feel or experience enough things as a child, and I want them to have that.
I was lucky enough to have parents.
We're getting deep.
That loved that love the theater. So I was a young child still.
So Julie Andrews has a 4-octave singing voice.
Yes.
Is that a lot? I don't know much about singing.
I'm gonna say yes.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure that Freddie Mercury had 3.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So, and if I'm not mistaken,
I mean, that's like a great Mariah, reference for you to give me so that I understand.
And I think Mariah and like Christina are five. If I'm not, I mean, Mariah Carey, she.
Holy shit.
But don't quote me, you guys, because I'm a couple drinks in. A drink in.
You're half a drink in.
Yes.
But it's so, a good half.
It is. This is really good.
Like I said, she this was her very first movie. She had done two little projects before this, but her face wasn't ever on screen until Mary Poppins.
That's why she's perfect, because
yeah, everybody's like, she is Mary Poppins. Where the fuck did this person come from?
And then you turn around and she's singing in the fucking hills with a bunch of kids.
Yeah, and she's only one of four actresses to ever accomplish that. To win an Oscar in your very first movie, only four other people have done it. It is Shirley Booth, Marlee Matlin, I think that's how you pronounce her name, and Barbara Streisand, Funny Girl.
She was good in Funny Girl.
She was very, well, she won the Oscar. I assume she was good. So I'm going to say that my favorite movies, Mary Poppins aside. What the hell is that noise?
You know what it is. It's Smashley in the motherfucking building.
Drink, people. Hey, baby. How you doing? Hi. Smashley's home.
Yeah. Okay.
And she is tired and weary and needs a mojito. Oh. Yeah. Do we have to pause? Do you need help carrying things?
Okay.
She's okay.
Well, I mean, if you want to pause the noise.
No. People want to hear from you. Say hi to the people.
Hello to the people.
People know. Hi to the people.
I feel like the people love Ashley more than they love me.
I know.
Maybe not more than they love you, but they might love Smashley more than me.
Oh.
Especially when she drinks. So we'll hook her up with a drink while she gets ready for tomorrow's Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving.
What was I saying? Oh, that's right. My favorite Julie Andrews movies. Mary Poppins excluded, because obviously that would be at the top.
I agree.
The Sound of Music. Duh. I know you've seen it.
Have I?
I love it. Do you?
I love it.
Babe, how do you feel about The Sound of Music? There you go.
Every mother should sit their child down to watch.
Aww. I agree.
Wait a minute. The kids were just singing
that. I was about to say, our nieces were singing.
Our nieces, Rory and Brooklyn, were just singing Do Re Mi last night.
That was their fucking talent.
Did you record it? Somebody had
to. It is recorded, yeah.
We're going to post Rory and Brooklyn singing Do Re Mi on Lights, Camera, Cocktails Instagram. Y'all check her out.
We're all blowing her spotlight.
They're cute.
We gonna open up their own Instagram.
We're gonna make them famous before they even know what Instagram is.
Insta famous.
Secondly, That's Life with Jack Lemmon.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And thirdly, The Princess Diaries. I love her.
I like both of them.
I love her as the queen.
Do you see this part two where she has like her bachelorette
party? I have to get married.
And they do like the. What are they surf down the stairs on mattresses?
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, this is how it's done. And she just like floats down on it like, oh.
Nice.
Mary Poppins like.
Oh, my God. I don't remember that, so we'll have to rewatch it. I didn't pay too close attention to that one. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Don't give me that look.
I didn't give you any look.
I felt a look.
If you said you didn't see the first one, I would have gave you a look.
Damn. But, like that?
Yeah, because that's a good one.
Okay. Well, it is arguable that she has a pitch-perfect voice.
I mean...
Which we gotta do in those movies.
I wish I could, like...
Cheeky.
Alright, so... What are we doing?
You wanna talk about Mr. Dick Van Dyke?
Yes.
Okay. Dick Van Dyke plays Bert. Wow, I feel pretty good. I just realized this mojito's hitting me. But it's hitting me in a weird way. I got like a headache from the sugar.
Too much sugar?
Too much sugar.
But it tastes good.
Oh, more than a spoonful?
I thought that Ashley was coming over to give me some sugar, but she's just coming over to steal my mojito.
How's it taste?
Thanks, babe.
Oh, refreshing.
Yeah! We did put a little extra sugar in it.
There's my sugar.
Well, my sugar.
Anyway, Dick Van Dyke. My favorite movies of Dick Van Dyke. First and foremost, Dick Tracy. I like him in that. Y'all can argue with me if you want, but I think Dick Tracy is a fantastic movie. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes, that's what I was literally.
Every time I hear that, though, I just want to sing like Ace Ventura.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Hi, ho, everybody. Chitty! And lastly, The Night at the Museum.
Yes.
I think he's fucking phenomenal in that.
And he plays Cecil. Did such a good job of picking like young and through like middle age to like old.
Yeah, absolutely. Dick Van Dyke, we have to talk about the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Duh.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, it is streaming on Netflix. And it's really funny. It's
streaming on Netflix?
I'm pretty sure.
Why are we not watching it right now?
I don't know.
We got to go, people. That's our show. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Let's camera cocktails. Order that pizza. No, I'm just...
What? Oh, shit. Ashley went to the grocery store.
Oh, shit.
Okay, anyway, the Dick Van Dyke Show. It was only 5 years that they did the Dick Van Dyke Show. And it was 158 episodes in five fucking years.
That's because they did like a bunch of fucking episodes.
30 a year, basically. Yeah. Actors nowadays, 13, maybe.
Dude, I just finished American Horror Story and it was 10 episodes.
That's nuts.
Yeah, they could have used at least two more.
I miss the full 22 episodes.
What happened?
I don't know. I think that the whole system got revamped and condensed down, and they're able to tell a story in shorter time. But personally, I think it's too short. They got to ramp it up.
Especially on these streaming.
At least 15, 16 episodes.
Especially if you're doing streaming shows. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair that... I had to wait a year for 10 episodes that I watched in 2 days.
Yeah, it's bullshit, right?
Like, come on!
You don't get as much of a character arc. You don't relish in the story as much as you might. So, I don't know. I don't like it all that much. But while Ashley is doing her thing, making some goodness over there, I am very excited to see him in Mary Poppins Returns.
Yes!
The man is 92 years old, and he is dancing and singing in Mary Poppins Returns, which is already out. Is it out yet?
No, it comes out December 19th.
It comes out December 19th. Okay. He has also got another movie.
By the way, people, I am making another drink.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Drink, people. I already got the rules memorized.
Yeah.
But 92 years old. Dude's killing it. He's got another movie in pre-production right now. Ooh, it's called Capture the Flag. You know who's in it? John Amos. Cleo McDowell.
Yes.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, and three other guys that I am forgetting the names of at the moment. But it's called Capture the Flag. And these are all retired war vets. They're in, like, a community. And every morning, they play a spirited game of Capture the Flag.
That actually would be good if I was
before they actually raise up the flag in the morning.
Dang, they gotta get up early.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're old,
I feel like this is just like grumpy old men for 2019.
I'm down.
Or whenever they make
it. I like these grumpy ass men you just named.
Dude, I love Louis Gossett Jr.
Yes.
And John Amos.
Can I give you a fun fact?
Give me a fun fact.
So Walt decided to choose Dick Van Dyke for Bert when he saw him on a TV show. And Dick was talking about how there weren't enough wholesome family movies being made. Travers, she did not like him, did not want him, especially when she heard his accent. She was like, oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah. And she didn't like his love of the drink either, from what I understand.
What do you mean? Like in real life?
Yeah.
Like she was mad because he drank?
Yeah.
Oh, bitch, that's my personal life. Who gives a shit?
She didn't want it because, yeah.
He cut. Did he come to work?
Dick
was
Van
he coming to work like fucking hammers? Oh.
Dick Van Dyke was very fond of the drink. He quit drinking in the 70s.
So like right a little bit after
that. But yeah, he did like his little 5 o'clock anytime. You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke
had... You just like ruined like a staple of my childhood right now.
Oh, honey. You gotta rewatch Mary Poppins.
And now I'm going to with that in mind.
Uh-huh. He was Robert Downey Jr. before Robert Downey Jr. Look at his eyes in some of these takes.
So
we're all adults here.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So to prepare.
There's your fun fact. I'm sorry to ruin it for you.
Thank you for giving me a sad fact. So to prepare for the role of a of British Bert. Dick Van Dyke worked with a dialect coach.
Mm.
And his name was J. Pat O'Malley. Dick blames this really bad accent on having an Irish coach.
I was going to say.
Who wasn't any better than Dick himself.
Okay.
So Dick, like I said, he apologized like years and years later. Like, I am so sorry that I sound like shit, y'all. But it's really because I had an Irish.
So he had an Irish dialect coach to play a Brit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
That didn't really help him.
That's, I mean, and there was a lot of Brits in L.A. at the time. You could have just, like, made friends with one that you noticed had a Cockney accent.
Isn't everybody in the movie except him?
Well, I mean, he clearly wasn't around all these people in pre-production before the movie started rolling.
No, I'm just saying, like, they could have found somebody who was really British. Like you
sure, but I don't know. Either way, I still think he did a great job because I don't think of it as a British accent. I just think of it as Bert. But that's neither here nor there. Why are you pissing off my dog?
Hey! Both of y'all be quiet in there.
We are filming. So going back a little bit, Dick Van Dyke's early years, before he became an actor, he worked a lot of odd jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, oh, Robin is excited.
It's because her mommy's home.
It is because her mom's home. Before that, he tried 3 times to get into the Army Air Corps as a pilot.
Okay.
He made 3 attempts. And you know why they refused him?
Because he was too tall.
No, he was too skinny.
He's just a skinny dude.
Yeah, he barely made weight his 3rd time.
They're like, I feel like you have to pee or shit. So, like, if you went to the bathroom.
Yeah, if he went to the bathroom before his weigh-in, he wouldn't have gotten in.
He wouldn't have gotten in. that's funny.
But, hey, that was the time. During World War II, everybody, you know, wanted to do their part. And, I mean, you've seen Captain America. How many times did he try to lie about his name and stuff just to get in the Army, you know?
Wow, that's real life.
Yeah, back then, absolutely. but on a more, I don't know if it's more interesting, but a more weird note about him, going back to his birth.
Ooh.
So, Dick Van Dyke was under the impression that he was born in March of 1926. He did not find out until after he was 18 years old that he was actually born in December of 1925. Because back then, his mom did not want anybody to know that he was conceived out of wedlock.
Oh! I was like, who messed up the birth certificate? Dang! Nowadays, no one gives a shit.
Yeah,
like,
nobody cares now, but back then, you can't have no sex before marriage.
Every day, every year, she's like, it's your birthday. And he's like, yeah!
Springtime, happy birthday.
All I know is once you told me that, I have 2 birthdays. Like,
what?
You have to, like, if my mom told me, like, really your birthday is, you're not born in April, you're really born in July.
Oh,
then
okay.
I would say.
We're celebrating twice. That's
I get
your
2 birthdays because you screwed up. You screwed up, so you owe me 2. You want to hear a fun fact?
I want a fun fact.
This one, when I saw it, it made me think of you. Because you talked about how costumes make people.
Oh, inhabit the character and stuff?
Inhabit the character.
I got you.
So Dick got a hold of the script after being cast. And so he wanted to pay the banker.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to play him. But Walt told him no. And so he believes that, you know, Dick Van Dyke couldn't do it.
And he does such a great
job. So Dick Van Dyke, he went over to the makeup people and he was like, look, make me old, give me some clothes, I got an audition. And he goes to the audition.
That's awesome.
And they gave it to him. But I actually heard something yesterday that Dick Van Dyke actually paid Walt $4,000 to play that second part.
What?
I literally just saw it. He was getting interviewed for the new Mary Poppins, and that was because he's playing the junior version of this.
Yeah, he's playing his son.
He's playing his son. He, you know, was talking about, like, hey, you know, the first time I had to pay him $4,000 to play it.
What?
Yeah.
So he had to sacrifice $4,000 out of his contract? Or what are we talking about?
I don't know. He said, I had to pay. That was it.
So, all right.
I don't know if he, like,
so maybe had, like, he's saying,
hired,
like,
him a check, or, you know, he was like, my check is
going to be a little light. Some of his salary or something like
whatever
that.
Whatever it was.
Or he just
whatever
Mr.
it was,
Disney.
He did it.
All right, I got you. And if you look closely, you can see the line where the wig is on.
Yes, and to be honest with
you, I mean, it's 1964.
I didn't know it was him until...
I didn't know until years later.
Yeah, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I had no idea. And now that I watch it and I know it's Dick Van Dyke, I'm like, it's almost like I'm studying him.
Like, I love when he's trying to walk, like,
just down the stairs, down the right?
Step. He's just, like, just trying to get that one step so he can get down.
Okay, moving on to Mr. David Tomlinson, Mr. George W. Banks.
Mr. Banks.
Yes, splendid, splendid. You can let them in now. Starting off, okay, this man... Even though Mary Poppins was his breakout role, he had been acting in films since 1940. And he didn't act for too long. He got in, he got out. But he had a long career, I would say. He retired in 1979.
Can I give you
a sad fact? Because you got a sad face.
Sad fact.
Oh, that was really sad.
So he served in the Air Force, but his first wife... She committed a murder-suicide in December 1943.
Wow.
Yeah, like, she took her son's hands. She had two, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and she jumped out of a hotel window in New York City, killing herself and the kids, and she was only 34. And she suffered from depression by the loss of her first husband, who also was killed in World War II. And she wanted to join David in England, but learned that she couldn't bring the kids or something like that. And, like, this set her off. And she committed suicide. So, like, that's something he had to deal with. Which is, yeah, I didn't know that. But when I read it, I was like, oh, that's heartbreaking.
Jesus.
Yeah. Mental health. It's not. It's nothing new.
And nobody. Yeah, it's nothing new. It's just people didn't acknowledge it or take it seriously. I'm glad that they're finally starting to turn a corner as far as mental health.
Yeah, especially in women, because especially back then, you being depressed was just
It's nothing you can control. It's a chemical.
Yeah.
You know, it's in your body.
It is.
It's as serious a disease as any other. Wow. I mean.
I'm sorry to bring it down. But
look at Robin Williams.
Yeah.
You know? And it was a chemical imbalance in his body, in his brain. And so he wasn't depressed. He didn't commit suicide. You know, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Yeah. You got to listen to Bobcat. There's an interview. He's a great director. A lot of people know him from Police Academy movies. Mm-hmm. But he plays Zed in Police Academy. He was Robin Williams' best friend.
Really?
And he goes live on Joe Rogan's podcast and he clearly states Robin Williams was not depressed. He was ill. But that is why, unfortunately, things went the way that they did.
Let's get back to some happy stuff.
Yeah. That being said, we will say that Mr. Tomlinson did pass away, but he lived a long, happy life. He passed away in June of 2000, which is very long, very great life, great career. He is a journeyman actor.
Drink. That's a new one. Mm-hmm. Well, I got a fun fact that I think you would like.
Okay.
David acted as his own agent in films and theater.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Back when you could do that. I mean, mm-hmm. No offense to my agent now, but I may actually, you know, take those reins one day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people that like to be in the know. I want to know what's going in my contract. I want to know what's coming out of that contract. I feel like I have the capacity to argue any point that I need to. However, I don't have that name yet, so therefore, we need agents.
Do you know he did several parts in this movie?
He did more parts? I didn't even look at that.
He does the voice of the Umbrella.
Oh, really?
Yes, really. I know exactly how you feel about these children, and if you think I'm going to keep my mouth shut...
And he does the voice of the horse jockey that lets her pass during the race.
Would you be so kind as to let me pass?
Certainly, ma'am.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Aw, that's cute.
So, yeah, so he said three times.
Would you be so kind as to let me pass?
Said, oh, yes, ma'am.
Of course, ma'am.
Yes.
And she wins the race.
Yeah. Such gentlemen.
Man, Mary Poppins is that cheating? Does that count as cheating if you actually, like, you're so sweet that people don't forget that they're running a race? Man. They she's don't think that she's power. Competing.
She's the best.
She's the best. That's mm-hmm. what it is. They just didn't realize it. Okay. Well, David Tomlinson, my favorite movies of him are, well, I mean, my favorite movie other than this one. He's done a number of movies, but I haven't seen them. But I have seen Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Of course.
My mom would break out a switch if I hadn't. And it's fantastic.
Running around singing the song at the bottom of the beautiful crime you see.
I've done enough singing for
I'm sorry, I've had to. Okay, good.
But, dude, this was his breakout role.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's been acting since 1940.
But this is his 1964. First big one.
This is his first big one. He was, what, like nearly 50 years old? He's Mr. Banks. He is forever Mr. Banks.
Mm-hmm.
He will always be Mr. Banks. It makes me sad because I wonder how many movies he would have done had people known about him when he was 30, when he was 40.
Yeah. And he's still, I mean, he was in legendary movies, so he'll always be.
He was. Him. He absolutely was. But I love him in this one.
This paper, where did you get it from? I thought I'd tore it up.
I love that.
No, I like where he's like talking about ripping it up, and Mary Poppins looks at him and she said,
I'll give you 1 week. I'll know by then.
Yes. I shall require every other Tuesday off.
Every Tuesday.
Yes, yes. He's like, before she comes in his home, he, like, everything is in order. He's got all his ducks in a row. He loves precision and order and lord of his manor.
And the only thing he can't control is his children.
Because he doesn't pay attention to them.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, even in the beginning, the constable brings the kids to the door. And it's like, they come because they were missing, quote unquote missing. And really, it was just a windy day. They were flying a kite, and the kite ran off. You know, they could. They're like 5 and 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, they can't control a kite, and they shouldn't have to. And the constable is like very empathetic towards them. He's like, "You see, sir."
In a manner of speaking, sir, it was the kite that ran away, not the children.
Yes, constable. Thank you. And if you would head to the kitchen, I'm sure the
cook
will get you something to eat. I'm like, motherfucker. Hear what I'm telling you. Your kids shouldn't be punished for this.
So the two things in different between the book and the movie is that in the book, the person who brings light to Mr. Briggs's faults in the family of not, you know, unifying them and all that stuff.
Sure.
Is Mary Poppins.
Yes.
But in the movie, it's Bert. He's the one who has the conversation with him.
And then they flow. And it's too light for you to.
I wonder if that was because of the time that it was made.
That's what I was thinking when I read that. I was thinking, like, okay.
Like, a man wouldn't accept advice from a woman back then or something.
Maybe something, yeah.
You know, so, and he is a chauvinistic man
of
1910.
With a suffragist wife.
Yeah.
Like, that's so weird.
I know.
She's like,
and she's all about it. Vote for women!
Our daughters, daughters will adore us. And they'll sing in grateful chorus.
Sister suffragette.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit.
And the first line in her song, she talks about men being rather stupid.
They are.
Hey. But that might be the case. They might be like,
I thought about that.
Chauvinistic men of the time refused to write a woman as the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay attention to the movie, she's clearly the guiding hand.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she says that when she's looking in his eyes and she's like, I'll give you a week. I'll know by then.
Can I fix you? So, yeah, I mean, Mr. Banks is an important part of the family.
I mean, that's kind of the moral of the story, is he's the one with the biggest arc.
Yeah.
He's the one that goes through intellectual and emotional change of the story. The family doesn't change until he does.
Right.
At 1910, he has the final say on everything that happens in the home.
Right.
And by the end, he finally, you know, he loses his job. And it's one of the best things that could have happened to them. You know, this is after everything that's gone on. He's gone through this whirlwind of Mary Poppins. She totally Jedi mind tricks him into taking the kids to the bank.
She's like, it's Tuesday, take your kids to work.
Yeah, it's take your kids to work day. And then she puts it in their heads that they should feed the birds. And so that's all Michael wants to do. He wants to use his money to feed the birds. Money-hungry bankers want those two little tuppence.
Yep.
Because they want every piece of money they can get their hands on.
Can I give you a little fun fact?
Yes.
So, in the song Let's Go Fly a Kite.
Let's go fly a kite.
It was inspired by the Sherman Brothers' father, who made kites for neighborhood kids, like, on the weekends.
That's sweet.
So, in the movie, the broken family is represented by the kite. And so, when Mr. Banks fixes the kite with pieces of tape and newspaper, that represents the four members of the Bank family.
I see.
And once you get it together, it's meant the family.
That's added
with the mom's suffragette ribbon as the tail. And this is supposed to be like her commitment to her family above all else. That is something that I...
Above her political beliefs.
Yes. That no matter what, even though I'm sitting here fighting so that my daughter can vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still have to be here.
Our daughter's daughters will adore us. And they're singing grateful chorus.
Well done, sister suffragettes. Yes, that's the first time I learned what a suffragette was.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
We can start talking about her, matter of fact. Miss Guinness Johns.
Guinness.
She plays Winifred Banks.
She's very sweet inside of this family.
She's so sweet and so like... fiery at the same time. Yeah. Like, she doesn't listen until, like, to the maid or the cook. Like, it's almost like she's got tunnel vision. She's on a path and she has to go on the path. And she's so charged from their meetings and stuff.
Yeah, she comes back like, woo, I can do anything.
Yeah. And then the second that Mr. Banks walks in, she's like a wife.
She tells him to, you know, hide
this. She's like that hand and foot wife. I don't like that. She's like,
Ellen, put these things away. You know how the cause infuriates Mr. Banks.
Well, she's submissive to him.
Yeah. Because it's still, like you said, it's the early 1900s.
So. Yeah, it's 1910, I want to say. So I think that's what he says in one of the songs.
So she can't even vote.
Yeah.
So a funny thing about her is when they asked her to play Mrs. Banks, she thought they were asking her to play Mary Poppins.
Aww.
So the only way that she would agree to do it is if they created and gave her her own song. So Walt asked the Sherman Brothers to give her a song.
Does that mean that they rewrote the character to be a early feminist pioneer?
I don't know if that was added.
Or if she was already like that, but it was more dialogue.
But now, I mean, if they didn't do the song, then I think it would have blown past a little bit.
I think so.
So they got rid of a song called Practically Perfect.
So there was supposed to be a song when Mary Poppins measures her height?
Maybe. I don't know where it goes. I think it might be in the show. Isn't it? Have you seen the show?
Well, I just remember her saying when she measures her height, when the kids are like, what about you? She's like...
As I expected, Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way.
Well, you make me a new drink.
Yep.
Guinness Johns is still alive.
Yeah.
She's 95 years old.
I didn't realize that I had seen her in other shit.
Yeah.
Until I saw who she was.
Yeah. She's the grandma in Superstar.
Yep.
I love that movie.
I was like, oh, shit.
She's also in The Ref. Those are the two movies that I've seen. But, I'm assuming she's retired now. She's 95. She probably wants to take it easy. Unlike Dick Van Dyke, who's still just going and going.
He's 1,000.
I know. Well, he's 92. But she's got 135 TV and film credits. That's not bad. I mean, for a lifelong career, that's... By not bad, I mean that's damn good. If I have 135 TV and film credits, I succeeded. She does have an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress for The Sundowners. And you'll love this. She won a Tony for Best Actress in a Musical in 1973.
What was it?
It was A Little Night Music.
Oh, okay.
Do you know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I don't. But I thought that was interesting, especially since you love musicals.
I do.
What am I saying? You love musicals. We love musicals. This is a musical house. Robin loves musicals.
Yeah.
Whether she wants to or not. Robin, do you know what a musical is?
She was in the talent show yesterday. Saying.
She was. She was flying off the carpet. So you mentioned him earlier, and I want to talk to about him for a minute. The constable, Mr. Arthur Treacher.
Okay, good. I did nothing on him, so give it
to you. Okay. Well, sadly, he did pass away in December 14th, 1975. I mean, the man was old in Mary Poppins in 1964. He had his first movie role in 1929.
Was it silent?
I don't know. It was 1929. I don't know when the quote unquote talkies started.
The jazz singer? I don't know when.
I don't know.
Actually.
But I mean, you recognize him from a number of movies, especially Disney movies and stuff. He did Heidi. And The Little Princess.
Wait.
With Shirley Temple.
His grandfather?
I think so. I'll have to fact check that. But yeah, you recognize his voice immediately when you see him, right?
Yeah.
But before that, he was on the Shirley Temple storybook.
What's that?
It was a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dude, he did TV, he did film, he did all kinds of stuff. He was on the Merv Griffin show.
Wow.
He was on the Beverly Hillbillies, the original Beverly Hillbillies, not the 90s movie.
The 90s, though.
No, it was great. Rob Schneider's hilarious. But yeah, my favorite movies that I have seen him in are Heidi and the Little Princess.
I love both of those.
My mom made me watch Shirley Temple movies. I don't know how, but I think she knew that I was going to be an actor.
I mean, my parents made me watch
them. She loves movies.
She does.
You know how when you're a kid, you don't realize what's going to form your way of thinking and your childhood and stuff? I think this is one of those things that she shared with me that I don't know if she shared with her other children, like Daniel and Mike and Joe and Selena. But maybe I was the only one that was willing to watch these movies.
Yeah. I don't know. My dad is like that too.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of stuff because of him. And I think I probably did get most of that shit from him.
Yeah, possibly. Mm-hmm. But 1929, and sadly, well, not sadly, but Mary Poppins was his last movie.
Oh.
Well, I mean, he lived another 10, 11 years.
But he was just like, I'm done.
Yeah. I don't know if they brought him out of retirement to do this movie. Or if he just realized, like, this is a spectacular movie, I'm going to go out on top, I'm done. And he does such a great job in this movie in the first place. You know, for those of you who don't know, the constable is the one that can't stop laughing. He loves to laugh.
Wait.
That's his name.
Wait.
We're not talking about I don't know why, but he's listed as the constable.
Who are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Arthur Treacher.
He's the cop.
He's not the cop.
Let me see a picture. The constable is.
I know. That's weird that his name is the constable.
Admiral Boom?
Not Admiral Boom. I'll show you.
What's his name?
His name is Arthur Treacher.
He is the admiral. He's the cop.
Oh, that's my fault. I'm talking about the wrong person. I'm screwing up. Completely.
That's why I was looking at you like, what are you talking about?
That's why I walked out here like, I don't think you're talking about that.
You're blowing up balloons for tomorrow?
Puppy party.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah! I forgot. I gotta bring one.
That's right. It's also Robin's birthday tomorrow. I screwed up completely. That is my fault. I apologize, people. The constable, Mr. Albert Treacher, he was the cop.
The constable responsible. Now how does that sound?
So everything that we just said was the constable.
And
I thought that we were talking about Ed Wynn, which is completely different. He is the man from Babes in Toyland and Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, because I had fun facts about him, and that's why I was like,
I'm losing my mind. I'm glad we corrected it now and you caught me.
So we are talking about Uncle Albert.
Uncle Albert.
We're talking about Uncle Albert. He is the one who loves to laugh.
Yes, he loves to laugh.
So, I once knew a man with a wooden leg named Smith.
What's the name of his other leg?
Fun fact about that, there is a wooden leg in the Lost and Found at Disney World that says Smith on it.
Does it really?
It does.
That's awesome.
I haven't seen it, but I read it.
That's awesome.
So, he is an old-fashioned comedian.
Yes.
Who got his start in Ziegfeld's Follies. And if you don't know what that is, you should Google that shit.
I don't.
You don't know what the Ziegfeld Follies are?
No.
It is It's like vaudeville, but it was like a show that had a bunch of like stars that came from it. Comedians, dancers.
And okay. I was going to say, because Dick Van Dyke's parents were performers for vaudeville.
So he was one of the world's beloved clowns. And he was born in 1886, y'all, in Pennsylvania.
Dude.
Which we have some Pennsylvania listeners, so what's up? You may also know Ed as the voice and likeness of the Mad Hatter.
Yes.
If you didn't know that.
Well, he was the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland's 1951 version.
Yes. He also was in, he played Kris Kringle in Miracle on 34th Street in a 1959 movie TV version, mm-hmm. which I have seen.
You know what I like him in?
What?
Cinderfella.
Oh, yeah.
With Jerry Lewis. Yes. He plays the fairy godfather.
And so he is hilarious. Mm-hmm. I love his scene where he's just like fucking laughing on the mm-hmm. roof. Like if I could be any part of that movie, that probably would be mine. Is that I laughed so much that I'm sitting on the roof.
And
the
he worked ceiling. With the kids again too, Jane yeah. and Michael in the Gnome Mobile. Yeah. They did another movie together.
Cool.
And he still is our most earliest actor. He had his first film role in 1927.
Dang.
And he died in 1966. Well, he was born in 1886, so he was 80 years old.
I mean, that's good
that's
for
long,
that,
especially for that generation. Yeah. Shit.
There you go.
So, Mr. Edwin, I apologize for mixing you up with Mr. Arthur Treacher.
Woo!
So, moving on, Miss Retta Shaw, who plays Miss Brill, the cook. I'm going to talk about both of them at the same time, because we've got Miss Brill and we've got Ellen the Maid,
okay.
played by Hermione Budley.
Hermione?
That's her name.
Like fucking
yes.
Harry Potter?
Yes, it is a British name.
Oh, I don't know. I thought they was made up just...
No.
I don't know.
No. So, Retta Shaw did a lot of movies. She did 70 TV shows. She did 15 films. These are, like we were talking about earlier, some of our journeyman actors that we were going to mention.
Take a drink.
Take a drink. Retta Shaw is best known for Escape to Witch Mountain, and also she played the housekeeper in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
Never seen it.
And Ellen, the maid, played by Hermione Budley.
I do love her line when she's like, who gets stuck with the kids?
Me, that's who.
And all pissed off.
She got into voiceover work later in her life. So she played Auntie Shrew in Secret of Nim.
Oh.
She also played Madam in The Aristocats. Yes. She was nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
Wait, so she played the mom in Aristocats?
She played the Madam.
Oh, the human.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But she was nominated. She did not win for Best Supporting Actress for Room at the Top in 1973, I want to say. I can't remember. And she passed away in August of 1986. And lastly, I want to talk about the kids. Because both of them did not do a lot. Like a lot of child actors, they went up quickly and did what they did and then floated away from the business. Karen Daughtrees, I think that's how you say her name.
I think so.
Played Jane. She did a few more than Michael. Played by Matthew Garber. And she is 63 years old now.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of her. She's cute.
Mm-hmm. But the three of them did three movies together. They did...
Three of who?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I've had a few mojitos.
Jeez, at least one of us can handle her shit.
You have had way more practice drinking than I have. I drink when you come over. That's it. So Karen and Matthew did The Three Lives of Thomasina together. They did Mary Poppins together, and they did the Gnome Mobile together, okay. along with Ed Wynn, like we were talking about.
Right.
And Karen kept acting a little bit. Unfortunately, Matthew Garber passed away early in his life. He passed away June 13th, 1977, of pancreatitis.
Can I tell you a little sad fact? So he contracted hepatitis mm-hmm. When he went to India in 1976. And by the time that his father brought him back to England, by that time it was just it had spread to his pancreas and it was just too late.
And that's how he passed, unfortunately.
Died at the age of 21.
Yeah, poor thing. It's too bad.
He was a good one. I want to give you a fun fact.
Okay, yes, give me a fun fact that isn't so sad.
So here's a fun fact about the kids. So the kids didn't know some of the surprises.
Really?
You know how you like that? Like, to get the real reactions?
Uh-huh.
Like, so, for instance...
I noticed Michael's laughing at Dick Van Dyke as Drew.
Mm-hmm.
He's laughing at him because I think he doesn't know what's going on.
Well, okay, so, like, with the kids, they have this dumbfounded look when Mary takes out items from the carpet bag. And that's because, however they did it, the kids were like, whoa, how can you fit all this in the carpet bag?
I got you.
And the little scream that Jane does when Mary gives the medicine, and it's all different colors.
And it's different colors.
It's a general scream. However awesome. They did that, it, so when she goes,
I don't want it. I'm not...
Yeah, that's real. Screams high.
Yeah. So another thing they didn't tell them was that Dick Van Dyke was playing Mr. Drew Sr. And the kids were worried that the old man was going to fall down and die, like, at any moment.
And he does fall, but they catch him.
Yeah. So that's something that they, that the kids, they just kept, you know, a little bit of magic for them so that
that's
you
can fun.
Get a real reaction out of it. So... Yes. You done?
I'm done.
All right. You know what that means?
Take some drinks.
It means it's the Zenobia Show.
I'm still here.
Are you? I'm about to cut your mic off. Okay.
Take your key back.
Oh, no. So, the first scene film.
Wait. I'm sorry. I have one more thing to talk about Mr. Matthew Garber. He was honored. In 2004, he was named a Disney legend.
Yes. They're all Disney legends.
They're all Disney legends.
That's how they honored him
as they rightfully should have. I like to think that he would have made more movies.
I think so,
and
too.
Had a he long, was happy life.
And I think that was good casting because he does look like Mr. Banks. So the first scene filmed was Jolly Holiday, the sequence. And they,
really?
Yeah. So they did this so they could get the animation part, you know,
correct.
Right away.
That makes sense.
And the animators can complete it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday. But they were complaining that Dick kept stepping on their penguins while they were figuring out where they were placing these characters. So don't be mad at him for just nothing's there. So,
dude,
my question
is, he didn't start learning how to dance till he was 34.
I did see that like when before he did this movie, he was like, I'm not really a dancer.
Dude, I got excited when I read that. I was like, babe, there's hope for me.
And when I saw that and then I watched Step in Time, I was like, oh, well, you were in time and you were doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was
so,
doing his thing.
So you can
Step in Time.
And they show the trailer for Mary Poppins Returns and it looks like he's getting it again.
He's
so
doing
excited.
It. 92 years old. Oh. Unbelievable. I want to know what his diet is. Shit.
So here's another one. Most of the nannies in line for the job are actually men in drag.
What?
Well, they have to blow them away and shit, so I guess they had to put them in. They have to do stunts.
Oh, wow. Yep. So there wasn't too many women in stunts.
I guess not.
I love that you're listening over there, babe.
She's our number one fan. So in the book, the Banks family was a family of six, and they didn't put the Banks twins in the movies.
What?
Yeah.
They were supposed to be twins? Were they like babies or something?
I don't know. There's the two that we
like
have.
Like Mary
movie,
Kate and Ashley?
And then there's a set of twins.
Interesting.
I really want to read the book to our nieces, so if you see them. There is 8 Mary Poppins books.
There's 8?
That are written by P.L. Travers, and she wrote them over like 60 years.
Oh, I was going to say, they didn't condense 8 books down a 2-hour movie.
No. They're spread out, and she did these like over time. And these books are all still in print that you can still buy. So,
wow,
I mean,
that's
like,
really cool.
Yeah, and I didn't know all that, so I want to kind of collect them so that I can read them to the girls. So P.L. Travers, she didn't want the animation sequence. She wanted it removed because she didn't want it
I
to
feel
be.
Like
that was
she
one
was
of
a
her...
crabby old lady. Like, okay. Dude. You agreed to make the movie.
But I like that she didn't let these men just fucking take over.
I do agree with her standing up for herself, but be reasonable.
Yes, I agree. So, are you ready for my last fun fact?
It's almost like she went into this expecting to be disappointed. And that's the part that I don't like.
I don't think that she wanted it, period. I don't think she ever wanted it to be a movie. Uh-huh. She was hounded by Disney to make this into a movie for 20 years.
That makes sense.
And finally, yeah, she was just like, fine, fuck, you can do it. But the only way you're going to do it is I have a say of this and this and this. I don't want it. She told him the first off, it's like, I don't want it animated. It can't be animated. So them sneaking in parts of it pissed her off, but it was enough that it wasn't really animated. But, you know, she had ideas of the songs and stuff like that because, you know, you're not following necessarily my book. And that's something that is new in that time of turning a book into a movie. Something now, you know, every movie is a book.
Sure. And you know what's crazy? I was watching it this week and watching it since becoming a filmmaker, mm-hmm. I see what they did with certain things. Like, I see the kids get scared from the barking dog, and it's like they're getting scared of a giant TV screen.
The entire movie is filmed on a set. But my question for you before I give you my last fun fact is back in 63, 64 when they're making this, how did they do the chalk painting scenes? Like, is it a green screen? Like,
it's how not was a it? Green screen. I don't fucking know how they did it in 1963. Nowadays, yes, you film in front of a green screen because green bounces off the skin better, or whatever color clothes. Some people do a blue screen and they do what's called a color key.
Right. But that's, I'm not that's talking about nowadays. Today. I'm talking back about then, 60s. What you got? You got
I don't nothing? Fucking know. Because they were working on film. Okay. And they didn't have computers back then.
All right, here's my last fun fact. So the step in time sequence had to be filmed twice because there was a scratch that showed up on the first take. And the whole sequence took a week.
Okay.
So I guess 2 weeks of them having to redo shit. So.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing scene. So
as an actor, I can understand. I would love that because you get a second chance at it. And you know how... like, I do this a lot in auditions, where I do the audition a certain way, and then when I get in the car, I'm like, fuck, I should have done it this way.
I totally agree.
I hate that. I totally agree. I hate that so much.
That's like when, like, they say something, and you don't have a comeback until you, like, walk out of the room. You're like, shit, I should have said, fuck that, or, like, something, you know? So, here we are. We are done.
What do you got?
We got... Z for the people. And this week's Z for the people is pretty cool. So Make-A-Wish Foundation and Disney are working together. They are celebrating Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday. Can you believe that? He 90.
Wow.
Mickey. So they want us, all of us, to take a picture with a friend wearing your favorite Mickey ears and hashtag share your ears.
Really?
So from November 18th to the 27th. So we're going to post it tonight and make sure that everybody knows about it even before the episode comes.
Okay.
They want you to grab your friend and take a picture with your Mickey ears on and upload it onto Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And when you use the hashtag on your post, Disney will donate $5 to Make-A-Wish. So they're going to do up to $1 million to give all these children a chance.
Yeah.
On their wish.
I love it.
So I love it too. I found it. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect.
Let's take the pictures. Where's the Mickey ears?
So we made sure we had some Mickey ears here so we could take our picture for the fucking.
All right. We'll do it after we record. Are we doing it now or are we doing it when we record?
No, we'll wait till we're after.
Okay. We won't interrupt the show. But right afterwards, you best believe we're taking this picture.
So please do this because literally it takes nothing for you guys to donate money. So we definitely need to do this. Mm-hmm. So here we go. So please send us your Hollywood Close Encounters to Lights, Camera, Cocktail with no S to gmail.com.
We know you guys met some people.
Yeah, tell us some stories. I mean, last week, Seth told us a great story, and that was fun. I'm excited.
About Miss Kristen Bell.
But your girl.
And I don't know what to call him. My man hero.
His guy love. That's what I like calling
him. Mr. Dax Shepard. Love that dude.
So follow us on Instagram and Facebook on Lights, Camera, Cocktail Podcast. And yeah, you got anything else to say before we get ready for next week?
Let's start the show.
Okay.
I was getting in my Dave Chappelle moment.
Ooh, yeah.
that was pretty good.
So
you got Ashley's attention.
Yeah. So next month, is December. Mm-hmm. We are done with our family.
We're done with family movies.
Family month.
Well, I mean, they kind
of. I mean, they blend into December.
They kind of bleed into each other.
But officially, we are done with family month.
Yes, and next month is December.
Jumping into some Christmas movies.
We're doing Christmas.
So
I'm very excited for next week.
This is Jason's pick. I do love this movie, so I'm excited for this.
It is one of my favorite comedies of all time. I will say that. It is one of my favorite comedies of all time. I don't think I've ever said that out loud. I love this fucking movie.
I love it too. I went to the movies to see it a bunch of times. Did and you? Yeah, I own it. So
was this when you were working at the movies?
I was working at it. And the song at the very end played nonstop. That's why I know every word to the song.
Okay, you ready to do the scene?
Let me get my voice right.
Right. Okay, wait. Let me get my script ready.
I mean, this is so good. We're starting Christmas off with a funny bang.
Absolutely. All right. It's on you.
Okay. Let me get it right.
Okay. I need a drink for this.
Oh, that's a good idea. Let's do this.
Mojitos.
All right. Why don't you like me?
It's a little hard to answer with a taser on my balls.
This is about Santa's little whore, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's go time.
Hey, it's not go time, okay? This isn't go time, Samantha, okay? You can't force or torture someone into liking you.
Oh, the big speech.
No! You just have to put yourself out there and hope that they like you back. This isn't a game, okay? This is my life.
Oh, yeah? Well, this is my life, okay? I'm sorry I'm not the most boring person ever, okay? I'm sorry I'm not poor. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I don't have a fat ass. I'm sorry. I'm not... Hey, where are you going?
You do have a fat ass. What are you talking about?
Fat ass. I do have a fat ass, and I am poor.
You're everything that this person is not.
I'm not boring, though. But I do have a fat ass and I'm bored. Ooh, the big speech. That's my spot.
I love that fucking line.
So, that is next week's movie, you guys.
As soon as I stop laughing.
Oh, I'm excited.
All right, everybody.
Yes.
That is our show for this week.
Yes.
I am very, very excited for next week. Me too. I hope you guys listen in. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
We will see you. We thank you. We appreciate you. Keep listening in. And if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about it.
Please.
You know, we're trying to get bigger. If you got suggestions, send them to our email. She said earlier, lightscameracocktail, at gmail.com. You gotta explain that to me. Why is there no S?
There was somebody else. I could have added the podcast, but I didn't, and we're too far into it now.
Too late now. It's lights, camera, cocktail, gmail.com.
You only get one cocktail with us.
All right, we're gonna get ready for tomorrow's Turkey Day.
Yeah.
We love you. We thank you. Have a good night. Right here on Lights, Camera,
Cocktails. Bye, y'all.